The scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, what a privilege it is just for this few minutes here just to read from your word. And may your word just touch hearts today. May the message encourage the people here today. May it go directly to their hearts, Lord, and may it directly affect their lives, Lord. May they be a changed person from what they were earlier today to the time they leave. We just thank you for this time. And I just pray that whatever is said and done the next few minutes here today, may it be to your honor and to your glory. We just pray forgiveness where we fail you. And these things we pray in thy glorious name. Amen.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter.
Matthew 6, 5 through 15. I was reading this week about President Lincoln, and I almost wish he could come back to life. You know, that would be great. But he's not going to. He was a unique man. He was an absolute from all the accounts. He wasn't a perfect man. He was a sinner. But he just was unique. And I was reading some amazing things about him and his children while being in the White House. There are several accounts, but one account said that there was an important person over for a meeting and a meal. So they're in this room, and Lincoln is dining with this very important official. And Lincoln's sons, I think Tad and Willie, were in the room, and they were just climbing all over him, just poking him in the ear, pulling his ears and climbing and poking him in the eyes. And Lincoln just let his kids do it. Didn't say a word. And what was the other guy thinking across the table? And Lincoln said nothing and just let his boys have some fun. Another occasion, the boys went up into the attic area of the White House. And I guess before the days of, cell phones and things, they had an elaborate system throughout the White House where if you needed the president or the president needed you, he could just pull on a string and it would ring a bell in your bedroom or your office. Well, his boys learned about that system, went up where they all came together and just started pulling all of them. And all of these servants came running to where Lincoln was, and I'm sure the boys heard it from Dad, but I thought that was kind of cool. There was another occasion when a very important person was over. And remember, this was Civil War time. And so people just didn't bebop in and out of the White House because, just wanted to have tea. This was important, important. This person was there, and again, Lincoln across from this important individual, and one of his sons ran into the room. Lincoln got up. He jumped in Lincoln's arms, and Lincoln hugged him, and he gave his son a bear hug, and he was hugging his son back. They were twirling around. Lincoln was patting him on the bottom and just having a great old time, and it said that the guy just sat there thinking, what is this? Lincoln didn't care. He let his sons do that. I read where Lincoln's sons knew, and these are, Willie was really little. They knew high-ranking officials. Willie would go down into where the stables were, and he would talk to those down there. They'd be out in the yard just playing, and these dignitaries would come into the White House, and Willie would stand up and salute them, and they'd salute him. They loved him. And I asked myself, why could these little children do this in such an amazing place with such important things going on, with the war going on out there? You know what the answer was and is? He was their father. He was their father. Do you and I forget that God is our father? I think we forget that. I really do. He is our father. And in this horrible world with wars going on and spiritual wars going on and the battles in our life and the struggles in our life and all of the bad news we hear, and it's just a horrible place, we can run into the Father's room and jump in his lap and give him a bear hug. He is our Father. In great times of crisis, in all times. Every time I get to a passage on prayer, I always think to myself, man, am I really praying like God has invited me to pray? Do I really view God as my Father, or do I believe he doesn't like me? Or do I believe he's so far and distant that he doesn't really care about me? What a great reminder as Jesus is exposing the fake hearts of some of these people. He uses the word hypocrite in every section. In the section on giving, in the section on praying, in the section on fasting. He is saying, hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. You are only doing it so others can see you and you can look good. True followers in my kingdom follow me, and they do it for me alone. And today we come to this little section about praying, often called the Lord's Prayer. I call it the disciples' prayer, because the Lord never had to pray, forgive me of my debts. God gave us this through Jesus as a great pattern, not something to recite mindlessly after a football game, but as a great pattern to pray. How easy it is to forget the access we have with our Father. Have you ever wondered why many times that we don't sense the power of God? Do you ever wonder why sometimes we don't see people's hearts being touched? Do you ever wonder why you're weak spiritually? Do you ever wonder why you don't seem to be as fervent anymore like you used to be? Do you ever wonder why you are almost dead spiritually? Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever wonder where the love for Jesus went? Do you remember the days when his word was so alive and so powerful? Now it's, well, I already know that, and I know that. Do you ever wonder? Do you ever get on your knees and say, oh, God, change my heart? Do you ever pour out those kind of prayers? Or are mostly our prayers for the sick? Is that all we pray for? Heal this person's knee, help this person's asthma, and we ought to pray for those, right? It seems like all of our prayers, even on church prayer lists, are for sick people. And people who need a job, and people who need a house. And those things are great. We are to pray for those. But if we stop there, that may be why we sense a weakness and the vitality and the vibrancy and the joy of our walk is gone. What an amazing passage today. And if you haven't been challenged in this Sermon on the Mount, Here's my recommendation to you. Tomorrow morning, get in your car, drive to the furthest hill you can find when nobody's there, get out a cover, lay it on the ground because you don't want ants getting you, and you kneel down and you cry out to God and you don't leave that place until it gets back. And if you have to go back Tuesday, you do it again. If you have to go back Wednesday, you do it again. I don't know about you, but this is some of the most pointed, convicting truth ever. Ought to change our soul. So he talks about authentic praying, which is praying to the Father for his kingdom, his will, his provisions, his mercy, and his protection. So first of all, don't pray to impress others. Verses 5 to 8. Don't pray to impress others. We were an elder meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to embarrass Tim Denton, but I thought it was really good. And somehow we were talking about praying or something, and Tim said, I know sometimes I get a little nervous when I have to pray out loud because I know the prayer police are listening. I like that. I thought that was good. The prayer police, and because we think if we pray, people are listening, and you're going to nitpick everything I pray. Well, that wasn't right. You ever get like that? I thought that was cool. Well, authentic praying hopefully will enter our hearts today. It is not to impress others, because if we do, there's no reward. Verse 5, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrite, the play actors, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. There were times of prayer, and they made sure that it was with time for prayer. They were where most people were, so everybody could see, oh, look, Pastor Tim stopped in Walmart. He's kneeling in aisle 5, and he's praying. Man, he is spiritual. People are coming and taking things out of his cart. He doesn't even care. That's what they were doing. They do it that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say, they've received their reward. So don't pray to impress others. Their reward is a human reward, a fleeting, temporary, meaningless reward, where people think you're great, and that's where it ends. But notice verse 6. Contrasting connective. In other words, the next verse is a contrast, but it's connected. But when you pray, notice it's assumed we'll pray. Did you notice that? It doesn't tell you when to pray. It doesn't give you a specific time, 3 times a day, 4 times a day. There is no prescribed. It doesn't tell you how to dress. It just says it's assumed. When you pray, followers of Jesus will pray. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Withdraw from this world. Get away from this world. Turn off the Facebook. Turn off the computer. Turn off the phone. Get away. Get away from it all. And commune with your Father who is in secret. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go around saying, Lord, where are you? Where are you? You're in secret. Where are you? Are you hiding behind the refrigerator? Are you out in the mountains? It implies this beautiful intimacy of relationship with Father and child. It shows that the child of God is not praying to be seen, but to be with his Father in heaven. Not seeking glory for self. He always has an audience with his Father. The Father is not hidden, though he cannot be seen. So when you pray, find a place where you won't be interrupted. And I know for you moms, that's impossible, correct? Because when you have kids, if Mackenzie comes home from work or school and Kelly's not visible, she comes into my office, where's mom? Count on it, 99% of the time, where's mom? I have no idea. No, she's down in the basement. She's out plowing the field. She's out milking the cow. I don't have any idea. Moms, you know what it's like. The minute you try to get a place of solitude, but that's really a blessing too, isn't it? They need you. Dads, it's hard in our society. We'll talk about that later when we get to application. But the idea here is we're not praying to impress anybody. We are running in the Oval Office, and we are jumping in our Father's laps, and we are hugging him and saying, I need you. I can't make it without you. Don't pray to impress others. And notice what it says here. He will reward you. But he doesn't say what the reward will be. Oh, that means I get the job I'm praying for? Oh, that means... Doesn't say. But here's what I thought of when I read that. Who cares? As the child of the Father, whatever he decides to reward me with, I need and I want. I need and I want. Because it's for his glory. So there is a reward. And notice verse 7. Here's another connective. And when you pray, here it is again. It's just assumed we pray. Do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. That is the word ethnos, ethnics, the unbelievers, the heathen, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Okay, so now, don't pray so others see you, and don't pray trying to heap up a bunch of fancy words, mind-numbing, gibberish, a bunch of junk, okay? Don't come with any formulas. Don't come with any rituals. Don't come with the idea that I've got to repeat something over and over, and I got to chant, or I got to light candles, and I've got to make sure I have my robe on with my hood covering it, and I have to have my hands in a special place. And my goodness, Jonah prayed from the belly of a big fish. How'd you like that? That's pretty gross. Stinky and dark. Don't think that I got to do something unique to get my father's attention. Run into this Oval Office and jump on him. I need you. No prayer beads. What you doing? I haven't got my prayer beads. What's that do? I don't know. No. No prayer beads. No candles, no chants, no groaning. Although you might groan. That's different. You know, I found something interesting this week. I think I might need to get some of these. A certain denomination sells these. I won't say which, but they're called prayer buddies. Prayer buddies. They got all kinds of them. Here's one. Liam the Lion Prayer Buddy, $21.99. They'll gift wrap it for $4.95. And this is a little bitty doll that prays. There's Olivia the Owl Prayer Buddy, Stevie the Sea Turtle Prayer Buddy, Louie the Lamb Prayer Buddy, and Ferdinand the Fox Prayer Buddy. I like the fox because we have a fox in our backyard. Here's what it does. It's fun, it's colorful, it's plush, it's prayerful and playful. With the press of the paw, a child's voice recites the guardian angel prayer. I didn't know there was a guardian angel prayer. I pray to Jesus. A second press turns it off for quiet time. So I guess Liam the Lion Prayer Buddy will pray this prayer, and then you press the paw, and then it's quiet. Here's the prayer. Beep. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this night be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule and guide. Amen. My heart is so touched. You know what? I just look at that and go, what? 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 Do not heap up empty phrases. Do not think that you need to come up with any kind of a buddy or anything like that. That's what the heathen do. No, go in secret and pray to your father. It reminds me of 1 Kings 18. Remember when Elijah was up on the mountain? The battle with the prophets of Baal? Remember how they prayed? Remember the challenge? We'll make our sacrifices, and whichever one God lights up, that's the true prophet. And they're out there praying, and they're chanting, whatever they were chanting. And then what else were they doing? Cutting themselves? Maybe God will hear if you cut themselves. Remember what Elijah said? Don't you love Elijah? Where's your God? Going to the bathroom? Look it up. That's exactly what it says. Elijah's taunting them. And they're trying all these things. No. Elijah just walks up and God blesses him. Boom, boom, done. Lapped up theirs in the water. And his. No. And look at verse 8. This is not clear. Do not be like them. For they think by all these things that we invent for prayer and that they'll be heard. Don't be like them. Why? Because your Father is not like that. He knows everything you need before you ask him. There is no need to dance around. There's no need to have beads. There's no need to have a prayer buddy. And please don't pray to an angel. There was one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Do not pray to Mary. Do not pray to a prayer buddy. Do not pray to an angel. Pray to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who is the intercessor, our advocate, who pleads his shed blood before God the Father. He enables you and I to run into the Oval Office of God the Father and jump in the Holy Father's lap. And I don't mean the Pope. The true Holy Father. Don't. I mean, this is so clear. Do not be like them. Because when we pray, we have this all-knowing Father who just... who knows what we need. What confidence in prayer. And he gives us what we need. Wow. Secondly, do pray to ignite your heart for God, and he will reward. You mean prayer ignites my heart to God? I thought prayer was just asking for stuff. It is asking God for, and we'll see that. It's just asking for jobs and health, and is that all it is? No. I think primarily prayer is to ignite our heart for God, to change our heart. One author said this: prayer is primarily concerned with who God is, what God wants, and how he can be glorified. Do we enter the prayer room with that? Who God is, what he wants, how he can be glorified. And notice how Jesus is teaching here by contrasts. Verse 9, he says, pray then like this. So don't pray like what I just said, 2 points, Jesus said. So now by contrast, he said, okay, I'm not just going to leave you hanging. Pray then like this. Great, thank you, Lord. So all we got to do is repeat this with a mind-numbing, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And God just, no. This was not given for you and I just to recite it. Now, I do believe we can recite this with a genuine heart. And this can draw your heart to God wholeheartedly. But please don't do it as a mind-numbing, well, I did this, you know. Now we're going to win the World Series or whatever sports teams do and things. Praying will expose your heart. You ever found that out? When you pray with being ignited towards God, it'll expose your heart. Because you'll realize what you want and what God doesn't want you to have. You'll realize sin in your heart. You'll realize God will begin to expose these things as we begin to truly jump in our Father's lap and pray. It's an amazing thing. So here is what it is. Is it, I want, I want, I want? Or is it, God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And how can I be used for you to get what you want? I talked with a man last night, the man I'm doing his funeral for tomorrow, his son. Well, I'm not doing his funeral because his son's funeral. And his son died 25 years of age, and he's struggling with why would God allow this? Can you imagine the deep spiritual heart of a person who would go to God in prayer and saying, God, what you want, what you want, what you want, and what you wanted was to take my son. That's praying to ignite your heart for God. And I appreciate his struggle. I told him, that's okay, as long as it doesn't stay there. You've got to continue to work this out with God. So he then gives us a pattern, if that's the right way. I'm going to go through these and try to go through them quickly. But notice first, our Father in heaven. Isn't it neat that Jesus says we can call God the Father our Father? And God is everywhere present with his whole being all the time, but he is designated as his throne in heaven. And we can go to that throne through prayer. We can walk into the Oval Office of God, the holy office of God the Father, his throne room, and pray, our Father. Holy, righteous, all-powerful, who is so pure that no one can stand in his presence. He has made it possible for you and I to run into his throne and jump in his lap and say, oh, Father, I've got to talk to you today. You're my Father. And it was made possible through the sacrificial death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. Without that, we're doomed. We're doomed. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption is one of the most wonderful truths in the Bible, where through the blood of Jesus Christ, God the Father has adopted, has signed the papers to the shed blood of his Son, and he has put us in his family, and we have all the privileges of a born son. Wow! You and I can say, I'm adopted. It's the most awesome thing ever. Somebody loved me and brought me into their family, and it was God the Father. So a Christian ought to be thrilled with that. Galatians 3:26, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. Do we truly grasp that God's our Father? As I was looking at this, and I often deal with this when I pray, sometimes I have a hard time. Jesus, Father, you love me. You ever do that? I do that all the time. How can you love me? There's no way you can love me. If you didn't tell me that, I wouldn't believe it, right? Now, if you bebop into the Father's presence and you, Lord, you ought to love me, we got a problem, right? You see what I did at work today? Yeah, yeah. I folded 12 sheets at the hotel while I was a, you see that? That was really good. I flipped 25,000 burgers better than anybody. Lord, you ought to love me. Whatever you do, Lord, how could you love me? You look at your failures, you look at your sins, you look at your struggles, and we look at our weaknesses. You may look at your past. What an amazing truth. Through the shed blood of Jesus, we can actually go into God's presence, this holy, pure God, and say, Dad, Dad. This week, one of my daughters sent me a text. Said, I'm thankful I have a pastor like you. And then she went ahead and said some things. And it was really an honor for her to say pastor, but I really like it when my kids say dad. But I like that too. How about, what did Josiah used to call me? Papper Daddy? There you go. Papper Daddy when he was little. Pastor Daddy. Isn't there something neat when your kids call you dad or daddy? And sometimes my wife says, hey, daddy. That's different, okay? But, right. Sorry. I'm making sure you're listening, okay? And I know my mom and my aunt call their dad daddy. I've heard them call my grandfather, Charles, who my middle name is named after, and August and I are both Charles. We got a bunch of Charleses. So do you ever go to God and say, Daddy? Oh, I could never do that. He's holy. He adopted you. Isn't that neat? Praise the Lord, Brother Tim. It is awesome. I know we're Baptists. Isn't that cool? Daddy, I'm worried about this. Daddy, how can I share with this family tomorrow that maybe their son's in hell? Daddy, I'm so afraid to share your son's gospel. Do you ever do that? Or is it God doesn't like me? He's just too big and too holy. Dear God, the Father in heaven who parted the Red Sea, may your glory come down and help me today and help the missionaries. Amen. I'll be honest. Do you ever feel like that in your prayer life? Oh. Do you ever feel like that in your prayer life? Guilty. Anybody? No, you're too holy to admit it? Well, God will see your heart. Second, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. One scholar said, author said this, God's name represents all that he is, all that he says, all that he does, and all that he bids. Oh God, holy be your name. Remind ourselves when we pray, ooh, that God is holy. We're not talking to a man. We are talking to this holy, amazing God. He is not the man upstairs. I got to go talk to the man upstairs, you know. Hey, man upstairs. He is not Mother Nature, no matter what Jeff Lyons or anybody else on the Weather Channel say. He's not the big guy. He is not the higher power. He is the highest power. He is power. And he is not the highest power of your choosing. He is God. Hallowed be your name. And isn't that amazing? That we, through the blood of Christ, can enter into this holiness as rotten, struggling weaklings. Isn't that amazing? Some Hebrew scholars said this, quote, God is in himself the Holy One, the separate one, beyond or above the world, true light, spotless purity, the perfect one. This is the one we run into and jump in his lap. Dirty. Who was the guy on the Family Circus cartoons that always had the dirt around him? Linus? I mean, that's who we are. We get Peanuts, Snoopy, whatever. Anyway, you know the guy. That's who we are. We run in and we just got this dirt and we stink. And this holy God that just we can't comprehend says, come here, come here. Isn't that great? Sinners redeemed to enter into the throne room. A couple years ago, I think Abby and Stephen bought me a running coat, sort of for when it's kind of cool but not cold. Really sharp. I mean, it was sharp. It's sharp. First day I'm running with it, I'm looking good. Hey, look at me, looking good, you know? And on Stringtown Road, there was a mailbox about this high, and the little lid was open, and my sleeve caught the hook on the mailbox, ripped that perfect little L shape, you know, like on barbed wire. And I just thought, why could they buy me such a cheap coat? No, I didn't. But I was like, oh, I can't believe it, the first day. So you know what? It's a black and gray coat with some really green, bright green stuff on it. So I took black electrical tape and I just patched it. And I still wear it today. Every now and then it starts to curl up. I got to snip the clip, you know, and put it back down. So I patched it. You know what? God didn't just patch us. When he sent his son to die, he gave us his son's righteousness. And we go into his presence with a perfect positional standing because our Father sees his son's blood. He loves his son. The son loves the Father. He loves us. And we go into this holiness. Hallowed be thy name. Forgiven and perfectly righteous, not just with duct tape or black tape on us, you know, with all this junk around us. It's an amazing, amazing truth. So we pray, Father, you're holy. Third, your kingdom come. Isn't our battle between wanting our kingdom and his? We all have our own little kingdom, don't we? I want this, 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 and this. This, 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 and this. And I want my kids to do this, 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 and this. And I want... No, your kingdom come. I want your kingship to come. I think it's three areas. I think it's evangelistic because the kingdom of God is in people's hearts today. So we pray, God, use me to bring the gospel, your kingdom, so the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and change people's hearts. So it's an evangelistic prayer. For daily living, God, help me to submit to you're my king, because your struggle is the same as mine. I want to be king every day, don't you? I want to be king. I want to put a crown on my head. And I want people to kind of bow down to me. I want them to do what I want them to do. My wife made meatloaf last night. In my kingdom, meatloaf has been banned. So I ate broccoli and green beans. And my dog was looking up to me, feed me, feed me. I said, it's all green. You can't have it. There's plenty of meatloaf in the kitchen. God, but if we're all honest, don't we struggle with that? I want my boss to treat me like I want my boss to treat me. I want my wife, my husband to treat me like I want them to treat me. Don't we struggle? No, your daily life, you're my king. How about in the future? Jesus, come. You are king. Show us how it's supposed to be done. Come and set up your rightful place. You are king. Fourth, your will be done. Not mine, but yours. When you pray, seek God's will. I like to categorize the will of God in two areas because God did. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever that we may do them. So I think in God's will, there's his secret will, things he doesn't tell us. They belong to him. And there's the revealed will, which his word tells us. Last night, why did God allow my son to die? I said, I do not know. but I know he's in charge, he's in control, and it's for his purposes. So when you pray, you are praying these two areas. Things that you're praying for God to do in your life that you don't know what he's going to do tomorrow, the next day. And you're praying, God, help me obey your will and your word. Someone said this, I thought this was a neat way to put it. His secret will, we will accept. His revealed will, we will obey. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have had things come into your life that you didn't understand? You still don't understand. They hurt. They're painful. You don't understand it. And you don't get it. If you're reading through your Bible, you've probably by now come across the point when Samson said, get me that woman from Timnath. Remember that? Get her for me. I like her a lot. What did mom and dad say? Isn't there somebody around here in our own people that you can? No. I want her. You picture Samson, you know? Remember what the next sort of tension verse said? They did not know that it was God's will that he might use it as an occasion against the Philistines. Isn't that amazing? So the secret things in your life, God, help me accept them. Help me to obey your word. Fifth, give us this day our daily bread. I believe this involves praying for things that God, that we need on a daily basis. Now in Bible's day, in Bible days, you didn't work all week and then get paid. You worked at the end of the day, you got paid. So if you went out into the gates of the city and were trying to get a job and everybody else got hired and not you, you're not eating that day. Unless somehow you got some goats you can kill in the back 40. So back then, this was quite the prayer. Because it wasn't like today when you go to Schnucks or Walmart or Buy Low or Buy High or whatever you call it, and there is all the food. And I think we are allowed to pray, not for wants, but for needs. Food, lodging, shelter, as God decides. You can pray for your needs, but pray according to the Father's will. Don't leave out the first three, four things that God has said. Sixthly, forgive us our debts. Again, this is the gospel. How does God forgive us our debts? Through the blood of his Son. The blood of his Son. Intercessory work of Christ. And that never ends because he'll never die again. This is not praying for justification forgiveness over and over and over. And some people differ on this, but this is not praying, oh, I got to be saved again. Got to be saved again. Got to be saved again. There is justification forgiveness. And then I think there's daily cleansing, even though we stand in justification forgiveness. I think that's the emphasis here. We want a relationship with our Father to be clean and clear. And so forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Wow. And then glance down to verses 14 and 15 because Jesus comments on this one. It's the only one he commented on. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So you see that when you and I go to God the Father to pray, it is very important, our relationships with each other. He holds that very highly. Somebody said it this way, and I really think it's neat. God's kingdom is a kingdom of forgiveness. So if you're going to God the Father and you've got something against somebody, as he said back in chapter 5, you better go deal with it, or I think our prayers hit the ceiling. We don't always have to agree with each other, but we do have to love and give grace and give mercy and give forgiveness. That's what Jesus' followers do. Nobody in this room, including me, is better than anybody else. And God's kingdom is a kingdom of great forgiveness. And didn't he give us the greatest example? Jesus Christ. It's unthinkable for a kingdom follower to withhold forgiveness. Seventh, lead us not into temptation. Pray for protection. Deliver us from evil. Do you struggle with a sin in your life? I am convinced that we try everything but this. Do you ever go to God and say, God, deliver me from evil? The Christian life is not easy. We have a devil who hates us and wants to destroy us. In fact, over in chapter 7, he said it pretty clear, did he not? The gate is narrow, the way is hard. That leads to life, and those who find it are very few. Very few. And this request shows us that it never stops. You and I never stop saying, God, deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation. Protect me. Help me. I'm going off into a horrible world. Horrible world. Three quick applications. Let me mention this first, though. I like this. Somebody said, none of us can comprehend exactly how prayer functions with the infinite mind and plan of God. There's no way in one sermon you could talk all about prayer. There's a lot more to it. But I think this is foundational. Foundational. And even though we may not understand everything about prayer, we can understand this. God commands us and invites us to pray. If we don't pray, we have not because we ask not. And then we decide to ask, but then we ask with wrong motives for us, rather than God, God, God. And again, prayer is primarily who God is, what God wants, how he can be glorified. First application, when praying, we must not leave our Father out. That's what this passage says. We can come, and if our desire is to be seen by others, for others to say, man, that was a great prayer. And I love hearing you pray. I love it. I just absolutely love it. Because so often when you pray, there's just so much honesty. And go to a preacher's meeting, and you will hear the preacher try to impress others with the big words and the fancy phrases. I just love hearing people say, God, we need you this week. Amen. I love that. Oh, but I forgot the prayer police are listening, all right? Somebody after church comes up to you, you know, Barney Fife. I'm writing you a Gomer makes a citizen's arrest because you were praying bad. If you try to impress others, if you try to use prayer buddies and gimmicks and all that, you're leaving the Father out. He says, no reward. Because you're not praying to me, you're praying to be impressed, to impress others. I think there's a spiritual pride we all bear. First, in two categories. I think, first of all, we want others to think we're doing really well spiritually. So we hide it. We hide it. We hide it. And so we fake it. And our prayers are going nowhere. We fake it. Pride. I think secondly, some people just don't care. So they don't pray, could care less. But they want to look good so they know all the Sunday school words and phrases. And we know how to kind of pass off as a Christian. Jesus is saying, that's not authentic praying. Be careful, don't leave the Father out. Oh, how we've learned to fool others. Wouldn't it be awesome if we came in here one Sunday and somebody said, Pastor Tim, would you mind if I got up and asked the congregation to pray for me this week? I am struggling spiritually. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? Rather than walking in and, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could be so honest with each other, not only in our prayers, but in our fellowship? But we don't. We put on the act. We leave our Father out. We give, we pray, we fast, but we're far from God. Didn't Isaiah say that? These people come to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. No reward. Secondly, when praying, we must be alone with our Father with pure motives. Can I ask you a question? What does your prayer life really look like? What's it look like? God, help me today! Now, those are okay. Is the only time we pray when we get in some kind of a crisis or trouble? Now, yes, pray in crisis and trouble. Do we only pray for sick people, which we should pray for? Do we ever go into our secret place with humble hearts, concerned with who God is, what he wants, and how he can be glorified in our life? Do we ever run into the Oval Office and just desire that? Do we ever cry out to God about our spiritual coldness? I do all the time. I do all the time. Lord, I don't think I am who I should be. And if anybody ever gets to the point in their prayers and they say, I think I've arrived, you better get saved. Okay? Right? Do you ever pray for your lack of zeal for God? Do you ever pray about your fear of sharing the gospel? Do you ever pray about the spiritual struggles you're facing? Or is it only, this person's sick and this, and give me a good day, and oh yeah, help the missionaries, amen. That's not running into your Father with pure motives. Do you ever cry out to God about the spiritual condition of your family? I pray to God for your families all the time. I have their names written in my prayer journal so I don't forget. Do you ever cry out for your family, your spiritual condition, their spiritual condition, the neighbors around you? And I know how it is in our day and in our neighborhood. It's like the neighbors hide. It's like we have one neighbor that we think they're there, but we're not sure, you know? Just you and your Father pouring out your heart alone. Third and last application, when praying, we must reflect our Father's heart of forgiveness. Our prayers will be hindered if we cherish iniquity in our heart, Psalm 66:18. They'll be hindered if we don't honor our wives, 1 Peter 3:7. They'll be hindered if we ask with wrong motives, James 4:3. And they will be hindered if we don't forgive others, the passage before us. Remember our study in Micah, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity, and passing over transgression. Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace because Jesus was tempted in all points we are. He's a faithful high priest. We can run in there because of the shed blood of Jesus. I was sitting in the courtroom this week with Lola, and they brought in about 15 prisoners and set them up. They're all in chains, ka-clang, ka-clang, ka-clang. And they're all sitting up there. Some I recognize from chaplain services, and there's like three or four rows where people can sit, and everybody's waiting. The judge walks in, and somebody says, all rise. So everybody gets up, and then they sit down, and they proceed. And I'm sitting there, and we're in like the second row, and I just observe people around me. Here's the judge up there. And I see people on Facebook with their phones. Flip, 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 flip. A kid behind me was playing a video game, and every now and then you hear, bloop. You know, video games, when you win a prize, I'm going, what? A bailiff walked up to a lady with a kid in front of me and said, ma'am, you're going to have to leave the room because the baby's crying. She sat there. And I'm going, leave the room? Because you couldn't hear very well. We want to hear what was going on. There was a guy on the far seat over there when the judge says, we're going to take a short recess because he had to use the restroom. And so, the person said, all rise. He is asleep. And he's sitting in his chair with his head down like this. We're all standing up. He's just. And then after the judge came back, he didn't wake up the whole break time. He's sitting over there. I'm watching him. And all rise. And he just. If I'd have been that judge, I'd have given him 30 days. And I thought, what disrespect before the judge. One lady came up in her chains. And it was her time. And she came up to the podium. And she's leaning like this. If I was a judge, you know what I'd have said? Ma'am, stand up straight in my presence. I may run for judge. What do you think? But it was so disrespectful. And I just watched all around. And then when it came up for Nick's part, this family next to us, they were talking and rustling around and kids were playing. I'm wanting to go, I can't hear. So then they get up and leave. They're banging the doors. And it was just so much disrespect. You ever read in Revelation when it talks about the judge on the throne? Everybody is silent, quiet, because this judge is like no other judge. And you don't slouch in your chair, and you don't sleep, and you don't get on the Facebook, and you don't pull out. You don't do any of that. You don't lean up against his podium like this. Yeah, just, yeah, okay, well, okay. He is the holy, righteous one, and he's indescribable. And it's that one that says, I forgive you. I forgive you. Jump in my lap. Yeah, Lord, but remember what I did when I was a teenager? Jump in my lap. My son forgave you. Last week I lost it at work. Last week you fill in the blank. It is this holy judge who we can't even fathom calls us to forgive like he forgave. Well, that scene in the White House amazes me. These little kids barge into the most powerful man in the land, jump in his lap, poke his eyes, grab his ears, twirls around, spanking him on the butt. I love pat on the butt, with important dignitaries across from him. It's just, isn't that amazing? Why and how could they do that? Because he was their daddy. Can I encourage you today? In all of these things in these sermons that have been just giving us a swift kick, right? Which we need. Aren't you glad he's your daddy? And you can jump into his presence and pour out your heart because he's your father. So may we, as God the Father's kids, through the blood of his son, barge into his room, jump in his lap, and pour out our hearts for his glory, his honor, his kingdom, and his will in our lives, in the life of our church, and in the life of those that he brings us into contact with. Let's pray. Father, what a great reminder today. How we can run into your throne room. The one who controls the universe. And you will give us 100% attention. Father, stir our hearts today of our prayer life and how we're praying. And maybe it starts with grasping this truth. You're our Father. God, if there's someone here that you're not their Father, through the blood of Christ, give them life today. May they enter into your presence through your Son's shed blood. God, if you've convicted some here today and they've not been praying for your will, they've not been praying for your kingdom and praying for those that need to be saved and confessing sin and pouring out burdens for their own sins and struggles, I pray that we wouldn't just be convicted, but that we would truly seek repentance. So God, as we sing and then leave this place, I pray we would not forget this, but you constantly remind us of what a privilege it is to be able to run into God's presence. And say, Dad, I need to talk to you. I can't make it. I can't handle it. It's hard. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling with this. And open your book and let you speak to us. And so God, just sweep through this congregation now. Each one needs to respond to you. And I pray that we would respond. In order to please you. And Lord, thank you for this message Jesus preached. I know I sure needed it and will always need it. So we pray this by faith in Christ's precious holy name. Amen.